Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One thing I forgot to mention as we began worship this morning is that the next installment on the readings through the Bible are now here for the month of November. So you can find those back by the mailbox if you're doing that. I'm embarrassed to say that I'm about a half a month behind. But I'm going to catch up. I'm working on it. Well, like so many other good Lutherans, today is that day once a year when we observe the Reformation with, a special service and an emphasis on events that took place some 500 years ago. But other than brushing up on our Lutheran heritage, I wonder if the Reformation has much meaning for us today. You see, the Reformation really wasn't so much about a monk named Martin Luther as it was about the theological questions of how do sinful people have a right relationship with God and how can a person be certain about eternal life. Today, even among those who claim to be Christian, a large number believe that their relationship with God is based on their performance. In fact, there was a recent survey by the Barna Christian Group that reported that among the American population, most agree that if a person is generally good or does enough good things for others in their life, they will earn a place in heaven. See, that's what Luther tried to do early in his life. He became a monk, taking vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. He attended chapel services several times a day, fasted and prayed. He spent hours each day confessing his sins to his priest, who, by the way, I'm going off text here, who, by the way, finally told him, Luther, when you can come up with something interesting, come back and confess it. But he confessed his sins to his priest, and he performed rigorous and often painful acts of penance to show God how sorry he was for his sins. And reflecting on that later, he wrote this, I thought it was clever, so I thought I'd tell you, if ever a monk would get to heaven by his monkery, it was I. Luther, like so many today, thought Christianity was a doing religion. And the operative word with a doing religion is the word try. You try to be your best. You try your best to do what you believe God wants you to do. But even if you try your hardest, how do you know you've tried enough? That you've done enough? Hard as he tried, Luther discovered that all of his actions on the outside didn't change who he was on the inside. Inwardly, he still felt himself to be greedy, lustful, and selfish. I'm glad we don't deal with those things. He had no peace. He had no assurance, no confidence that he was good enough for God. You know, today there seems to be an attitude of eternal optimism when it comes to the afterlife. One person suggested this is because we live in a culture that's hooked on happy endings. Just watch TV. Everything's going to turn out just fine in the end, so why worry? The big guy upstairs is thought of as a lovable grandpa, and there's no reason to be concerned about a right relationship with him, because he certainly wouldn't let anyone suffer an eternity apart from him. Shortly after the World Trade Center attack, someone drew a picture of the towers with smoke billowing up and out. I actually had a picture of that, but it was so poor I couldn't really get it up so you could see it. But there was coming out of that smoke figures, people who were rising up to heaven, and standing above the smoke was Jesus, larger than the buildings, the smoke, and all the people, and his arms were open, welcoming everyone into his loving embrace. It's a wonderful picture. But the question is it accurate? Did everyone who died in that attack, except the terrorists, of course, end up in Jesus' arms and in heaven? Does getting killed in a terrorist attack automatically qualify you for heaven? Well, we certainly know the second question is of course not. But we don't know about the first question. And according to our epistle lesson, there's a problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Stockbroker, pilot, janitor, airline passenger, husband, wife, child. It doesn't matter who you are or how you die. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, sick or healthy, whether death comes at the hand of a terrorist, a drunk driver, cancer, or old age. All are sinners. All have fallen short. If we've all sinned and fallen short, then who is welcomed into the arms of Jesus and who isn't? See, that's the very question that makes the Reformation so important. How can I be certain that I'll spend eternity in heaven? Optimism and wishful thinking just doesn't do it. We need to know for sure, and that's why the Reformation still matters. Those questions, which deal with nothing less than eternity, were what Martin Luther and the other reformers sought to discover from God himself through his word. They didn't just make up answers to make people feel good or say what they thought people wanted to hear. Instead, the Reformation answers stood on Scripture alone. And the book of Romans was crucial to this. We heard this morning how all have sinned and fallen short. But thankfully, that's not the last word. God continues by telling us he freely gives what we need for salvation. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, being right with God isn't done by us. It's done by God. We're saved by grace alone. In his Son, God dealt with the sin which kept us from being in a restored and reconciled relationship with him. The hymn writer put it this very well. We're going to sing this song a little later in the service. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It's only God, and only God's undeserved love for us in Jesus, and him alone, that gives us the perfection we need to stand before the holy God and receive the gift of eternity. That's where the picture of the terrorist attack had it right. Standing above everything is Jesus. If anyone from that attack was going to heaven, it was because of Jesus. What he did on the cross and the faith that he creates in people's hearts. In fact, that picture would have been more correct if Jesus' outstretched hands had nail marks in them. He hung on that cross to restore our broken relationship with God. Eternal life comes from his death. So the operative word of a doing religion is try. But Christianity is not a doing religion. It's a done reality. Your salvation, your right standing by God is done. It is finished. As Jesus said with his dying breath. And the operative word of this done reality is trust. We trust that Jesus has done everything necessary for our salvation. We trust that our restoration with God is completed. We trust that what Jesus said from the cross is true. It is done. And we trust that. See, faith in Jesus Christ alone is the Reformation's answer. In fact, it's the Bible's answer to questions of righteousness and certainty. Our faith stands on Scripture alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone. And this Reformation certainty about God's righteousness still matters each and every day. A pastor told him an event which brought this home to his family. He said, Recently, five teenagers who were in my son's high school were in a horrendous automobile accident, and three of them were killed. Tim, our 15-year-old, knew the young girl who died. We've talked a couple of times about what happened, and one of his comments stands out for me. He said that this death was personal. He knew her. He'd talked to her. And now she's dead. You see, when death and life gets personal, too close to ignore, too near to rely solely on optimism and wishful thinking, that's when the Reformation really matters. The Reformation still matters because it answers the question of righteousness and certainty with one word, Jesus. The young girl who was killed in that auto accident isn't in heaven because she died at a tender age or in a horrible accident, but because Jesus willingly gave his life for her. And in her case, God had reached into her life at baptism, connected her to Jesus' death and resurrection, and he gave her faith, a faith which trusted in Jesus, Jesus who brought her home to heaven. Not long ago, I heard a pastor say, faith never saved anyone. And you know what? He's right. Faith doesn't save you. People put their faith in a lot of things. Muslims have faith in Allah. Buddhists put their faith in the teachings of a prince whom they believe became enlightened through meditation on the sufferings of this world. And many people today have faith that they're good enough because they try. But that kind of faith doesn't save. Not according to the Bible. The only faith that saves is faith that is grounded on the work of Jesus Christ, finished on the cross, and confirmed by his resurrection from the dead 3 days later. It isn't my faith that saves me. It's Jesus who saves me. And I trust in that through the faith God works in me through the Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus. When I was growing up, my family wasn't particularly expressive about feelings of love and tenderness. My mom was Swedish. The Swedes are just as bad as the Germans in that regard. Now, we were certainly expressive about other things, quite loudly, in fact. But we weren't a family that wore our tender feelings on our shirt sleeves, especially my dad. When I'd returned from my time in the Navy, I began to take my faith seriously once again. And as I did, I began to wonder about my parents' commitment to the Lord. Now, I have to confess, I was more than a bit judgmental as I wondered how important Christ was to them. You see, they seemed so traditional. They went to church. They did what I, at that time, called going through the motions. But I wondered, was Jesus really important to them? Had he really touched their lives in a personal way? I've come to hate adverbs. Really, truly, very. They mess you up every time when it comes to your relationship with God. Around Easter time, one of the TV stations was broadcasting one of the stories of the life of Christ. I don't remember which one it was. But what I do remember was that my dad and I were watching this. At the time of Christ's passion, that is when Jesus was beaten and crucified, I heard something behind me. And as I turned my head, I saw my mom come up behind my dad and wrap her arms around his big shoulders as tears ran down his face. Now, I don't ever remember seeing my dad cry before that, or really even after that. But there he was, weeping over a movie. And at that moment, I was ashamed because I realized that I had so self-righteously judged something that only God could see, that only Jesus could see. And that was my dad's heart. Jesus had put in his heart exactly what he put in my heart and exactly what he has put in your hearts. Love for the one who willingly died for sinners. Not because we're good enough, but because we aren't. Because we can't do it. Now, although I didn't put it this way at the time, in that moment, the Reformation really mattered. Because it was very personal. It wasn't just a historical event or a theological point of debate. The Reformation mattered because at the center of the Reformation is Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection by which he purchased and won for us eternity from sin, death, and the devil. So does the Reformation still matter today? You bet it does. It matters because people still need to hear the truth that they're sinners, that every one of us has fallen short of God's glory. It matters because people still struggle with whether God will accept them. It matters because people still need to know with certainty that they can have confidence in this life for what we face in the next. It matters because people still need to hear about the one who has gained the victory for them. And as long as people have those concerns, the Reformation will matter. Amen.